I'm Francis Lam, and this is the show for curious cooks and eaters. Spending the day with La Cucina really made me think that every city should have La Cucina. But it also made me think of one of my favorite food organizations in my hometown of New York, the League of Kitchens. Now, the League is very different. It's a for-profit company, and instead of selling food, it sells cooking classes with women, mostly elders, from many different cultures. So if you've ever wanted to learn to cook from a Greek or Indian or Lebanese grandma, they're who you call. But in doing so, they've also given these women a way not just to make an income, but also a way for them to represent their cultures, which they're so proud of. We spent an afternoon with their founder, Lisa Gross, and one of their instructors, Angie Vargas from Mexico, who showed us one of the dishes that she loves to teach.
So Angie, Lisa, thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you so much for coming to our house.
I'm so excited to be here. This is the pinkest plate I've ever been in my entire life.
Oh yes, yeah. Pink makes me happy. And if I'm happy, I cook very delicious food.
It all makes sense.
Yes.
So here we are, as Angie said, in her house. Lisa Gross is with us. She's the founder of League of Kitchens. And Lisa, have you ever taken this class from Angie?
Oh yeah. I mean, okay. A big part of hiring all our instructors is we do 40 hours of paid training where we help them craft their workshops and practice and coach them and write down all their recipes. So I've cooked a lot with Angie and I love doing it and love eating her food.
Right on. So I'll be like the real newbie and you could like be like the head of the class. But Angie, you're going to teach us how to make chiles rellenos today.
Yes, chiles rellenos. We're going to stuff them with cheese. And then I have frijoles a la charra, green rice. I made some flans.
No salad.
No ensalada, no pales. So yeah. we're having a whole meal.
Awesome. Let's get to it. So we start with these beautiful poblano peppers.
Yes, these are poblano peppers. They're raw. They're pre-cleaned. So we're going to burn them in the fire, straight in the fire, until they become charred. Let's turn the fire up. The high, and then you grab your chili. I always use tongs, and I put it straight in the fire. When you're burning your chili, try not to burn the steam, because you want to hold it from there when you're cooking it. Try not to burn it, because sometimes it does burn, try not to. and they smell very nice when they're cooking. And then after this, when they are very charred, like black, we are going to put them in a steam bag. So the steam can help us lose the skin.
Yeah.
So in a way, we are cooking the chili and peeling the skin. So if you want to hold the tongs and turn it little by little until they're black.
One thing I really love about doing this is you see the skin puff, yes. These little bubbles.
They're getting burned.
Yeah, I think this is also one of those dishes where when you have it at a restaurant, it feels maybe intimidating to make at home. But then, you know, cooking it with Angie and her normal New York City kitchen, you're like, oh yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, it's pretty chill.
Once you see it, you see that it's not complicated. Like I always tell my students to cook with love. So if you're cooking happily and like making food for your family, you won't get that scare. Yeah. So now they're black, very, very nice. They look very sharp.
Black and all over.
Yes, so now we are going to put them inside a plastic bag. So we are going to steam them. So here.
And how long do you generally leave them to steam?
For about 5 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. It's not that long.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to wait for 5 minutes or so. But then I have here some that are steam already and charred. So please grab a glove. So I'm gonna peel one very fast, so you can see. It's very easy. The skin just
comes right off.
Yes, very simple. And if you wait longer than the 5 minutes, they're gonna cool down, and it's actually better to peel.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay, so now we are going to mix the egg whites until they're fluffy. Okay, Okay, so now our egg whites are ready.
They're so fluffy. Yeah.
So you know they're ready when you turn it upside down and they won't come down. So,
so you know. Really nice stiff peak egg whites.
Yes. Okay, so while we were waiting for the egg whites, we finished cleaning the chiles. So remember, you're gonna open with your finger and take out the seeds from the inside. So you peel the skin out and you take the seeds out of.
And they're so tender now, so you just really just your
thumb, they're
split it right up with your thumb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're practically cooked, so you can eat them like this. We have many dishes where we eat chiles like that. Mm-hmm. So like in the morning I make eggs with poblano pepper. Mm-hmm. All right. So now that they are clean and seedless practically. Okay. So now we are going to take the chile with your hand. We grab a piece of cheese. This is white cheese.
Queso blanco.
Queso blanco, mm-hmm. Yes. I like this brand. It's called Tropical, but you can use any white cheese. But in the family, my husband loves cheese, so he can finish the whole cheese bar. And he loves this one. So I've been using this cheese for a long time. After you have it with the cheese inside, then we're gonna put it some flour on top.
Okay.
So the flour can pick the egg. I'm going to turn on to start heating the oil. So mm-hmm. we need a lot of oil to deep fry the chiles. I like to use sunflower oil. I've been using sunflower oil for a long time.
A little nice layer of oil on the bottom.
Yes.
It's like a big fat
yes.
pot.
No. It's not like you're deep frying it in a big pot, but you really want to fry there.
Yeah, have enough oil to come
around
the sides.
Yes.
Okay, so the peppers are stuffed.
The peppers are stuffed. And now we are going to fold the egg whites with the yolks.
Oh, okay.
So you want to mix the yolks first.
Okay.
So they're all mixed.
Uh-huh.
So you're folding these yolks back into the whipped egg whites.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So you pick the chile with your hand. Now these steps are with your hands.
Just a nice flour. Dusting of flour, rub it on.
Okay. So I'll do this first. So with my hand, I'll just put it right there.
Okay, so you held the flour dusted chili in your hand. You basically spread some of this fluffy egg white batter onto the chili.
Let's see on half of the chili, the side that you're gonna put to the oil.
Yeah.
And then you spread the other half.
Yeah, then you put it in the pan, and as that side is frying, then you spread the meringue on the other half.
Yes.
Yeah.
So who's next?
There we go.
Who's trying? Who's making?
I'll try.
Put it in the oil. Great, that's great. And then you cover the rest.
Already smells so good.
Yeah.
And so how do you know when to turn them over?
You wanna get a nice golden color. And I like to flip it on a triangle so they can, like this.
Oh, okay. So you flip it part way.
Yes, in three ways. So
yeah.
Now I like to flip it like this.
Right now that cheese inside is getting all melty and gooey. And
once you have a nice golden color, you can take them up. So now the chiles are finished. We are going to serve them. We are here in my dining room, and I have all the sides already here placed. I have the frijoles a la charra, the green rice, the ensalada de nopales, and I have for dessert the flan. So we are going to pick up the chile, any chile that you like. You pick it up from
the
steam.
By the stem.
Yes, yeah. And then add some beans on the side here.
So good.
Oh, they're so good. Mm-hmm. There's so many things going on. Mm-hmm. It's such a simple dish.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a piece of cheese inside a pepper, inside some fried egg.
Yeah.
Yes.
But fried egg batter is so silky. Mm. Like, there's something about the way it, like, interacts with the pepper and the mm-hmm. juices of the pepper where mm-hmm. it just makes it so, like, silky and rich in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And then you have the taste, like, the green vegetal taste of the pepper. And then you have this, like, chewy cheese in the middle.
Oh, yes, mm. this is heaven.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, tell me, what led you to start League of Kitchens?
Yeah, so the idea actually came out of my own experience in that my mom is Korean. She immigrated here in the early 70s. My dad's actually American of Hungarian Jewish descent, and his family's been in New York City for five generations. That's like two very different immigrant stories.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, my Korean grandmother lived with my family from the time I was born till when she passed away when I was in college. And, you know, when she passed away, all of those recipes just went with her. I tried to learn from cookbooks and from the internet, and just nothing tasted as good as when my grandmother made it.
Sure.
There was always something missing, and I had this realization that there's always something a little bit left out that you really need to learn from a person that's very sensory. It's like you know, learning from Angie. It's like, mm-hmm. when it feels like this, you should do this. When it smells like this, when it sounds like this, when it tastes like yes. this, you should do this.
Right.
And so I kind of had this fantasy of, oh, I wish there was another Korean grandmother that I could cook with and learn her family recipes and cook with her in her own kitchen. And so this idea from my early 20s came back to me, and I thought, well, what if I found, you know, quote unquote grandmothers from all over the world mm-hmm. who were incredible home cooks and could teach their family recipes and host people in their home kitchens, and it could be just as much about cross-cultural learning and exchange and connection as it was about this incredible food and culinary experience.
Yeah.
You know, I've been running the League of Kitchens now for almost 6 years, and just in the last year I had this realization that our instructors are really culinary cultural lineage holders in their cultures mm. and in their communities. Because when you think about how culinary culture has survived for the last 10,000 years and been passed down, it's really been an oral tradition mostly passed down between women.
Sure.
You know, grandmother to mother to daughter yes, to granddaughter. True. And I think because it's been an oral tradition and a women's tradition, it's often been unseen, invisible, unvalued, undervalued. But, you know, our instructors, they're all incredible experts who've really learned from their grandmothers and mothers and are incredibly knowledgeable. And I just feel like that's so important to mm-hmm. recognize and celebrate. You know, and to really value also home cooking.
And Angie, you're such a natural teacher, and I think one of the things that's really important about being a teacher is to be comfortable sort of performing, but performing in a way where you're not yes. just giving, we're also sort of listening
yes,
and interacting.
Yes, and I love to share. Like, I love, like for me, sharing food, it's giving my love. Like, I'm a very sentimental person, and I love to love people. Mm. And for me, giving love through food, it's very important. So yeah. for my family and I, it's very important to share our culture and our traditions.
What do you hope students get when they come to your classes?
I always tell them to feel like at home. Mm. I want them to feel like a part of the family, so we can cook together and have fun. And I want them to learn so they can cook this to their family, and so they can give their love to their family. So yeah. it's passing away love at the end of the day.
Yeah. This is so great. Should we eat?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Buen provecho.
Buen provecho.
Lisa Gross is the founder of the League of Kitchens, and Angie Vargas is one of their instructors. And that is our show for the week. Thank you so much for listening. And the next time you get something from a street vendor, put a little something extra in the tip jar, will you?